Today's show, we talk about television and college football, particularly the playoffs, battle with the NFL. Plus, corporate logos are coming to a field in Jersey near you. And, we've got a prolific thief over in England.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
He's arrested in Sutton in Ashfield, Nottinghamshire. See, this is, I would never do it in England.
Russ Dellinger.
Midfield team logo and replace it with, say, Bucky's.
And SI's Pat Forty.
As long as you're not in one of those countries where they serve them and they're like beef flavored or something.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Welcome to June, our favorite month for who the hell knows what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about television, how we consume this thing. This is actually isn't what we're going to discuss mainly, but I just saw a thing from ESPN. They were going to have 1,000 games will be available. Nearly 1,000 games to air on ESPN platforms alone. Does not count Fox, CBS, or NBC. Now, obviously, a lot of that is ESPN Plus, which is just a gold mine of all sorts of sicko committee level stuff. But television is everything. It's determining why we have these conferences this year. It is determining why we have a playoff this year. And some of that is, much of it is positive. Some of it is negative, obviously. Some of it is unusual. And then there's the bit where you have things like you can pretty much watch anything you want, which is good. 1,000 games just on ESPN. Goes to my theory, Pat, that I think this is going to be the most exciting, interesting college football season, has the potential, that we've ever had. The people that run the sport may want to tell you that everything is horrible, but the facts do not belie that. And one of the reasons is you can watch 1,000 games and there's going to be a playoff. And I don't even think everyone even knows what's coming because I had to remind myself the schedule. Am I right? This is going to be awesome.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. And yeah, you can see almost every sport, all of every sporting event on Earth on TV now, except the Masters, of course, but that's a whole other deal. The thing that struck me when I was at SEC Media Days last week, or I'm sorry, spring meetings last week, was, oh my gosh, this is really happening. Texas is here. It's not just Texas is coming. Oklahoma is here. Nick Saban is not here. You know, the amount of change just in the SEC, but then you extrapolate that to the changes in the Big Ten, the changes in the Big 12, the changes in the ACC. And while I absolutely hate what's happened to the Pac-12, the newness of all this is really going to be fun and interesting. And then, yeah, the playoff just absolutely exponentially, I think, will increase the drama and the stakes and the magnitude of everything from like November 1st on, really all season. But I think when there's 20 teams in the mix on that first weekend in November, or more, who knows? It's just going to be fantastic for all those fan bases, as opposed to it being whittled down to six that have a chance at a national championship. So the changes that have happened are just all colliding, I think, right here, right now, this season. And it really did bring it home, being in Destin, that, man, this season is going to be wild. It's going to be different. It's going to be unusual. It's going to be fun. Bring it on.
Yeah, it's been a interesting May, maybe one of the more interesting that I can remember in college sports. Not only do we have all this settlement litigation stuff, but to Pat's point, I was at all three of the four, I guess, spring meetings. Big 12 was in Phoenix, and ACC when it was in Amelia Island, and then of course the SEC in Destin, Florida. And it was the change was right there in front of you. You know, whether it was Joe Castiglione, Oklahoma's AD, or Chris Del Conte, Texas AD in Destin. How about when I turned the corner in Amelia Island and ran into Bernard Muir of Stanford? I was like, oh yeah, you're here now, right? So it's just bizarre. And then, of course, in Phoenix, you know, you've got Utah and Colorado that are in Big 12 meetings, the Arizonas as well. As a part of all this, too, there's all the litigation stuff. It's crazy when you think about the change, the rapid change that's happened. At one of these spring meetings, I can't even remember which one, I was telling somebody that I don't know that any industry in America has changed as quickly and almost violently as college athletics has the last 3-5 years.
I think that all of those, no question. I mean, it's definitely different. It's going to be weird. You're going to see Oregon in a Big Ten standings. We don't have the Big Ten West to kick around. The Big 12 is going to be this total free-for-all. No one's got any idea what's going to happen there week to week, probably. And a lot of the stuff is, yeah, jarring and violent change and different stuff. But I think for when you're sitting there on, like, October 19th and Texas and Georgia are playing a conference game, you're going, oh, all right. What television did by blowing up the Pac-12 and causing these things was create more big-time games. And we can recognize what was lost and oppose some of it, but we also can acknowledge that it's going to be more big-time games. And more games are going to matter. And there are going to be a lot of great things that are going to come out of this. And as more and more of these TV deals come out and go. And I wanted to get to the playoff on this and the relationship, kind of the soft battle that the NFL and college football are going to wage on each other in the next few years, and maybe how college football positions itself. And I don't know if it really matters unless you're an executive at a television network. But as we know, the playoff is coming, and they do not have a very good playoff schedule set up yet. They need to do something with the actual season schedule and try to organize this. But the first round games, the four first round games, which will be on campus this year, this will be 5 hosts 12, 6 hosts 11, 7 hosts 10, 8 hosts 9. These, to me, are going to be one of the most anticipated weekends of all time. And we're going to have one game on Friday night, December 20th, and 3 on December 21st, Saturday. Now, that Saturday is going to go head-to-head with the NFL. The NFL does not normally allowed to broadcast on Fridays or Saturdays. I'm going to bring up some tremendous, you know, I love legislation. Well, the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 says the NFL cannot broadcast a game starting Friday at 6 local time within 75 miles of a high school football or college football game taking place at the same time. So in part of their rule to get antitrust exemption and be able to have things, you know, all the things that allow it to go on, that's why the NFL is not on Saturdays or Friday nights. And basically you're protecting the gate. This is 1961, but protecting the gate for local high schools, which need a Friday night, right? You don't need the Chicago Bears playing on Friday night and taking all the money, all the kids, all the people that would have gone to high school game out or college. I don't think anyone at this time could have envisioned what television would be, but this is the deal they have. Now, that only starts from the second Friday of September to the second Saturday of December, which is why traditionally the NFL has put a couple games on that Saturday afternoon right before Christmas. And I always like that because college football was kind of winding, didn't have anything going on. And, you know, it's like you could do your shopping and there'd be some football on. lately that Saturday has been used for your New Mexico Bowl and those types of games, which I might be interested in, but much of America is not. So the NFL has seized that day. Well, now college football has to go up head to head with it. So this year, there are two NFL games. I don't know why there's not three, but there are two. Texans Chiefs are going to be at 1. Steelers Ravens are going to be at 4:30. It will go up against the college football triple header of noon, 4, and 8. Obviously, the 8 will be free, but the noon and the 4 game. As a matter of practicality, when the NFL is on, the NFL gets the big rating. That doesn't matter what you try to counter program the NFL with, let alone other football. Should college football care? I'll start with you, Pat. That it will be bumping heads directly with the NFL, and presumably its ratings for those games will be lower because, look, CJ Stroud versus Patrick Mahomes in week 16 of the NFL season, which may have some playoff implications, is there people are going to want to watch. Our audience obviously is very college focused, and I think we'd be more interested, but I would fathom that 95% of our audience, if not 100, is also an NFL fan and would go, oh, that's pretty good. I'd watch that. So there's competition. Should college football care? Let's just start theoretically that it has to battle the NFL. There aren't a lot of options on a way to get around this, but there is a lot of consternation within college football that, hey, it's not great to go up against the NFL. What do you think?
Yeah, I have many things to say here. First of all, what are you talking about shopping on that Saturday before Christmas? You don't shop until like December 23rd. So you have
the Walgreens just stays open late for a reason.
Walgreens gift from
the Walgreens perfect. On Christmas Eve. I mean, that's when you get the real husband of the year material.
Oh, yeah. You at least go to CVS. God.
Get the CVS, $4.99 box of chocolates or whatever.
Is CVS better than Walgreens?
No. No. Ooh.
People say that. I don't understand. People are like, oh, you got a Rite Aid? I'm like, they're all the same. They're the same stuff. Like, I don't even understand the difference. I'm driving by. Anyway,
we've got a CVS near us that's lacking in service.
Let's my kids deserve Walgreens at 11:30.
Yeah. So, okay. That's point number one. Point number two, 1961 apparently was the last time the NFL ever lost anything. When that broadcast act was created. That's interesting. I did not know that even existed until now.
They didn't know what they were losing. They were clowns.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one quick thing. It took Richard Nixon, this came out on these tapes. The Nixon tapes came out because everyone wanted to listen to find out like what he did at Watergate, which was like historically impactful. I was fascinated that he kept trying to get Pete Rozelle. They used to black out playoff games even in the NFL in the city, even with a sellout. So the Washington team was playing a playoff game, and Nixon, I would have presumed he would have had a way around this at the White House. Okay, but he wasn't going to be able to watch the playoff game that weekend. I don't know, they're getting a better I don't know they'd have cable then, but my God, it's the White House, right? He lobbied to put it on TV because people in Washington were driving to Philadelphia to rent like motel rooms or let's go to like and watch the game. It was ridiculous. So Richard Nixon's like college football's like all time hero, and he got him to do it. But anyway, they didn't know what they were doing. So they signed this deal, and it's the only thing stopping the NFL, as I will get to, from just blanket games, right? They'd be the NBA and NHL. Like, we play anytime, right? MLB, double headers. We don't care. If we get TV, they'd put Mahomes at Mahomes. You'll be like, Mahomes is playing 26 games next year. How's that working? Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Good history lesson.
I'm on it.
You're on a heater here today. But to answer your actual question, no, the college football should not care about what the NFL is doing. As you said, basically it's inescapable. You're going to have conflict with them. You can't avoid them completely. Do your own thing. get your own audience. You're going to have a big number still. And I think especially now, we are much more in a multi-screen, multi-game culture. People can watch both. I'll watch both, except I'll probably be covering one of the college ones. But whether it's at a sports bar, whether it's in your house, you'll get two screens and you'll watch both the NFL and the college. You can't avoid them. You're going to have to battle them some. And you can't let ratings dictate everything. Lord knows it has dictated enough in college athletics for the last decade or more. But eventually, you got to come make your peace with, okay, there's going to be a Saturday where we're going to have games and they're going to have games. Proceed.
Well, they certainly are. To get back to one of Dan's questions was like, do they care? And boy, they do care. Like the college football playoff folks, the leaders there, the commissioners, they certainly are well aware of this fact, which is why there was talk, at least last year, it's kind of died down now, of shifting the regular season so that you would, and there still is, I think that's still a possibility, although probably not until a little bit maybe down the road, but shifting the regular season up a week and shifting everything up, including championship games, conference championship games, up to Thanksgiving or off of Thanksgiving, and then, or I'm sorry, on Thanksgiving from the first week of December. And that way, the idea would be to play the first round the second weekend of December so that you have it, right? You have it open that Saturday, you know, and you're not competing against the NFL. And then the quarters would be, right, against the NFL where the first round is. And then the semis, the goal is like the semis on New Year's Day. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, that lineup, but it would at least, because there's four rounds, right? One, two, three, isn't there four rounds? Yes, four rounds. So two of the four rounds are impacted by, like currently the way it's scheduled, by the NFL, right? The first four games are competing with the NFL. And then the semifinals are on a Thursday and Friday in January to avoid the NFL wildcard weekend, I believe, that weekend, that playoff weekend. So if you would shift the regular season up, or if you get rid of conference championship games, whatever, and you can shift everything up, only one of those four rounds would be really impacted or competing with the NFL. So that's the goal. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but there needs to be a way to try to make something happen there, to play for college football, to kind of own the second weekend of December outside of just these low level kind of bowl games. So that's the goal. And then you also prevent a too late into January championship game, which we'll have for the next 2 years. It's like, what is the championship
January
game?
January 20th.
Yeah, it's crazy. Third weekend. Yeah. Of January, you get into the NFL playoff buzz and all that stuff. So we'll see if it ever happens. They shift it up. They certainly want to.
To Ross's point, the schedule this year, we have that 20th and 21st. That's going to be incredible. Then we wait until New Year's Eve. We'll have one game, Fiesta Bowl. Then we'll have three. So these are quarterfinals. There'll be one on December 31st, and then there will be a triple header on New Year's Day. There'll be what game in Atlanta. There'll then be the Rose Bowl. It's going to screw it up again. And then the Sugar Bowl. The playoff people are concerned. Now, these are the same people that, because they can't stand up to the Rose Bowl, gave us New Year's Eve games. The national semifinals on New Year's Eve did not. They were going to rewrite the paradigm of New Year's Eve. Did not work. They also, because of the Rose Bowl, allowed last year's incredible Sugar Bowl to finish at a time when much of the East Coast is going to bed, 1 a.m. They took away the, you know, that to me is far. I don't care about the ratings, right? I know that the people that really want to watch the sport are going to watch the sport. Whether the rating is we got 22 million people to watch or 18 million people to watch because there was an NFL game or 14 million, whatever. I want the 14 million that would want to watch no matter what to be able to watch. And so when you're running a game that ends at 1 a.m, that's the arrogance of the leadership of college athletics. It's totally ridiculous. You screwed people over. And you can, I think they're just surrounded by rich people and boosters, and they don't realize, like, no, I drive a FedEx truck and I got to be there at 6 a.m. I can't stay up till 1 to watch Washington and Texas down on the wire. I just can't. Or I got whatever it is. You shouldn't have to watch football. So I got bigger problems with those types of things than whether or not you go head to head. I agree with you, Pat. I think, listen, you switch back and forth. You might even draw some people in. I don't know. You got people watching football. How do we know these games are going to be good in week 16? You don't know. And college football is going to take a whack out of the NFL, too. Like, it's not like zero people will watch the college football game. Not at all. So their numbers are going to be down, and I think you got to bite back because NFL wants to do, like, okay, we talked about that Friday. You can't play a game until on Friday at after 6 o'clock. Once again, they're doing a Black Friday game, 3 p.m. They did it last year. They have a 3 p.m. kick on Black Friday. This was new last year, and they're doing it again. Raiders, Chiefs. Believe me, anytime they want to take a smack out of college football, Mahomes shows up. It's like their secret weapon. Like, not only are we going to do this.
And Taylor's boyfriend.
Yeah. Mahomes.
Well, good luck, NFL. You'll be competing with the Egg Bowl.
The Egg Bowl.
So how about
college
that?
College football is countered with the Egg. Yes, the Egg Bowl is off the Thanksgiving night game, which I do not like. But I believe the sheriffs in the state of Mississippi do because the fans were drinking all day at their Thanksgiving parties. Mm. And then the Egg Bowl broke out and it just all nonsense erupts. They moved that. I wouldn't have done that, but hey, whatever. I don't know. I go, well, is Texas A&M going to now be the Thanksgiving game?
I'd be surprised. No, I don't think so.
No. There were questions about that at SEC spring meetings. And
what's going to be the Thanksgiving game?
I don't know.
Unknown.
Good question.
NFL.
Maybe not an SEC game.
Yeah. It takes, both sides to agree to play on that, any game, really, right, to agree. You got to have both sides. And I don't think that it's hard to get for that. For as long as the Egg Bowl was on Thanksgiving, I think it was hard to get agreement from two teams that want to play on that day, on a holiday. And for a long time they did it, but wasn't able to make it work, to continue it. And I'm kind of sad, too. I mean, I grew up with the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. I was a student when the Egg Bowl was mostly on Thanksgiving. And, you have your turkey and your dressing and your side of Egg Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's usually at least a comedy involved in there, too. It's like watching.
Oh, yeah. The game was 98% bad.
It's like you don't have to watch Home Alone on Thanksgiving night or something. Yeah. So the family can get around and laugh. Some guy's going to do a dog peeing celebration and get everyone fired.
Truly one of the great moments in college football history.
Really is. Anyway, all right, so we have that. I would like to see them figure out how to move the season up and or get rid of conference championship weekend, either one. And get the playoff going sooner. I would like New Year's Day to have two games. I would like the Rose Bowl to move to 4. Not 5. 4. 1 hour. 1 hour, people.
Good luck.
1 hour. Sun will go down right at the end of the game. It'll be all right.
We can't be having that sunset after the later than the end of the third quarter.
Here's the other two things the NFL are discussing that may impact. One is we'll start with the easy one. One is Goodell wants to go to 18 games. They currently have 17 games over 18 weeks. He wants to go 18 games, and I'm still a little confused on this, either 19 weeks or 20 and get a double two byes. I'm not sure how they're going to figure this out. They want to cut a preseason game, Now, I don't know whether that means the season would shift into Labor Day, which college football owns. The NFL has not wanted that. But they want to move the Super Bowl all the way back to President's Day weekend in the middle of February. Now, this, I think, would be good for college football because it now you're not, let's say, that late December week. It's not week 16, it's week 15, and it's a little less of a thing. The playoffs are moved back. You might have more attention on college football going forward than being just stuck in this. So, I mean, the NFL just, it gobbles all the attention. You know, even on something like ESPN, which obviously is super committed to college football, they're not, you know, for whatever like the daytime shows are, or the debate, like they're going to be talking NFL playoff, seeding, the games, the coaches getting fired, all that stuff just gobbles up so much airwaves, just neutral radio shows around the country, it just all consumes. So I think that would be good. And I think college football should try to look and plan thinking when Roger Goodell starts saying we're going to do 18 games, they're going to do 18 games.
Yeah. I mean, yes, generally speaking, Roger is the voice of the owners. The owners get what they want. And if that is more revenue, guess what? That tends to be the way things break. But, you know, it is interesting. They keep adding games. The more we find out about how bad football is for your health, the more they want their guys to play football. You know, that is, I don't think the college game can. Yes, you can try to game plan around the NFL where you can strategically. And if they can move up the season and not have it end January 20th or 21st, that would be good, I think, because you're putting a long time grind on the college athletes to, you know, be engaged and go to camp in late July and be playing until late January. So if you could shorten that window, that would be good. Without also, I hate to sound so archaic here, but without trying to completely trample on finals week. But you can't spend your whole existence just trying to avoid the NFL. It's not possible. And I think you have a really good product that's going to be as interesting as it's ever been right now. Push it, sell it, go with it.
Don't we have enough NFL games? Golly. I mean, we have enough college games too. We don't need to, we need to, shouldn't we all just stop expanding in general? Can we just slow down a little bit? There are enough teams in the Big Ten as well. It's just everything, like, God, just stop. Like, isn't there something to, especially like a regular season, isn't there something to making games the more valuable, right? You can, and as you add games, you make them less valuable. And it's just, this is just, it seems like it's getting a little too much. You know, Dan, you mentioned we're talking about moving the college football regular season up, and you also mentioned the second option, right, which is eliminating conference championship games. I think we've talked about this quite a bit and had a story about it over the fall, is that the more they expand the playoff, you know, the more the less valuable that conference championship games become. And coaches will tell you, I think, and they have definitely told their ADs and commissioners, is that we don't want to play a conference championship game anymore if we're going to have to play 4 or maybe later 5 playoff games. They like expand to like whatever, eventually you continue to expand. So yeah, those in some leagues, I think those are going to eventually go away. It's going to be hard in leagues, as we've discussed before, like the SEC, because it brings in so much money and it's such a massive event for the fans in that league, I think. But the coaches, you know, it's starting to get where they're letting everybody know that they don't believe that conference championship games should continue to exist if the playoff is going to continue to expand. So that opens you, right? That could conceivably open you up for a weekend where you can shift the playoff up a little bit.
I wonder if a team could opt out.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Let's say Ohio State this year is 12-0. Okay. 12-0. They've beaten Oregon. They've beaten Michigan. They're rolling. They say, hey, we need to go play this a game. You got to play Oregon again. Now they would probably get, they'd get it and they'd say, no. Now maybe they would lose their top four bid, I guess. That would be why you'd have to play it. So I guess you'd get a week off one way or the other. But I agree. I think the conference championship game, I've been at many SEC games. They're fantastic. The whole scene in Atlanta is great. To a lesser degree, the Big Ten in Indianapolis is good. But it's not, those games have rarely been super competitive. It's less necessary. They've expanded the league so much. I don't even know what winning, you know, it's just sort of this weird thing. You don't want those rematches. You don't need, you know, you might have to move the tradition of Michigan, Ohio State off the final game of the season because of the far less interesting tradition of the Big Ten championship game, because you don't want to play in 2 weeks in a row. Like, that's the tail wagging the dog. I would love to see it go away and have the season end Thanksgiving weekend, and then 2 weeks later, boom, and then a week later, because you can set the stage and play two playoff rounds in December and have your semifinals on January 1st. And just quickly to Ross's point, so I don't forget, and then whatever you were going to come up with, Pat, I think the January 20th championship game is way too late. I think college football fans are going to struggle to remain engaged in the sport. I think they struggle now to remain engaged in the sport past New Year's Day. And like I said, probably 95 plus percent of the fans here are also NFL fans. And that's okay. You can be excited for the NFL too. And it's just like, you're asking fans who are trained and think, all right, I'm excited about January 1st. And then 20 days later, we're going to have a title game. Like, that's a long time to be sitting around waiting and waiting, especially when the hype machine will not be focused on college football, but will be focused. Now, obviously, if your teams are in it, yes. If you're an absolute diehard, like you listen to the College Football Inquirer on June, whatever this is, 3rd. Yeah, probably. But I can totally understand where fans are like, oh, right, that's getting played.
First of all, I would say, though, it's great if the coaches are coming around to a point. I mean, we have made on this podcast for years, death to the conference championship games. Haven't liked them in forever. They have been expendable other than as revenue streams. Would love to see those go away, and it would help solve some of the problems here. Yeah, and I do think that even as is, with the championship game generally being January 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere in there, that, yeah, they've lost a degree of the momentum of the season and general interest. And, yes, if your team's not in it, it tends to be, oh, yeah, when's that game again? And who's, oh, yeah. I mean, you really just do lose a lot of the carryover that kind of has sustained everybody week after week after week when you start spacing it out longer and fewer teams are playing. And then you add in the NFL playoffs. And I mean, shoot, I know from readership, is like you're writing stuff leading into a Monday game and nobody's reading it because they're all, they moved on or they're watching the NFL or whatever. So I think that's probably indicative of where the sporting timetable goes for a lot of fans.
Yeah, you're basically announcing a playoff field in early December, and then you're finishing it in kind of late January. I mean, it's like the Stanley Cup playoffs. It just goes on forever. But that has 16 teams and 7-game series. Right? The NBA playoffs right now, like, when is this thing going to go? Like, it's like, all right, Boston, Dallas. Oh, yeah, wait 10 days. Oh, okay, exciting. All right, two other points. Like, what do you think of these semifinals Thursday, Friday, in one game per night? I actually like playing Thursday. I know traditionally Monday is football night, and that's why they've had the championship on Monday night. I don't know the TV, but I think Thursday works really well. Go, and then you're not the afterthought of the NFL playoff, but you're like the lead in. Right? The appetizer gets more ordered than the dessert.
Well, Thursday's great. Yeah, I agree. And that Thursday, you know, the NFL doesn't play, right? Because it's a playoff weekend. And that's why they can't, also that's why they can't play on that following Monday, right? Because the NFL, I think, plays a playoff game on that Monday now. So they did Thursday, Friday instead of whatever, Friday, Monday or something like that. So Friday stinks. I mean, usually Friday night, you know, as Pat and Dan both know, I can be found at a bellied up at a bar somewhere Friday nights. Friday night football, I'm not a fan of this, but Thursday night's great. Thursday night's a great football night. I think the NFL has kind of established that for everybody. And Thursday night's always been like a big TV night. So I'm not as much of a fan as for Friday. But maybe they should have a doubleheader on Thursday instead, Dan. You know, 5 and 8.
Yeah, 5 o'clock start on Thursday would be tough.
Yeah, but
they need 4 hours too for a college game, so you'd have to start at 4.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
And then it's 1 o'clock in California.
Yeah,
they've done this.
They don't work out there.
They did this on New Year's Eve, and they were dumbfounded that people on the West Coast had to work on New Year's. Wait, thought it was a holiday. All the guys I know own businesses. Like, well, their workers are working. Their workers are working.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm fine with, I like Thursday. I'm not, you know, completely opposed to Friday. I agree Thursday's just an easier night to watch, but for the casual fans, but I like Thursday, Friday. I'm good with that.
NFL is putting games on Wednesday this year. They're playing games every day of the week, Tuesday. Yes, Wednesday, Christmas Day. Last year they had games on Christmas Day. They were getting 30 million people to watch. Raiders Chiefs, 29 points again. Where's Mahomes? Giants Eagles averaged 20, it wasn't Mahomes on that day. I'm sorry. They had it whatever. They got huge numbers. And that used to be the NBA's day. The NBA would schedule all these games and try to do everything they possibly could, and they get Curry versus LeBron or something, and that was their big thing. The NFL just squashed it. Now they're basically saying this is a second Thanksgiving. We're going to put games on. You guys are sitting around with your family. You need something to do. You're going to watch NFL. Okay. The NFL has generally not touched New Year's Day. Now, when the Sunday rolls on New Year's Day, they take it, and the college game moves to January 2nd. The vaunted Rose Bowl parade even occurs on the 2nd, right? They'll move for that. Not even the Rose Bowl parade will stand up to the NFL.
Yeah, that tells you everything right there.
Yeah, everything goes to January 2nd. But last year, for instance, New Year's Day was on a Monday. The NFL could have had its Monday night football game go against what would have been the Texas-Washington game. Now, that game is Monday Night Football is an ESPN property. There are a lot of things. But rather than compete on New Year's Day, they moved their Monday night game to Saturday. It was a Lions-Cowboy game. And they put it on Saturday night and got a huge rating. The NFL can get a huge rating any night. That's the thing.
Yeah, Dan, why don't we, you know what, I got an idea. The NFL keeps encroaching on college football, NBA, other sports. How about we move everybody else's regular seasons to the spring and summer? And just let the NFL have all the fall. Will that make them happy?
That would make them happy. And again, I think I go with Pat's thing. So what?
Kickoff of college football May 1st. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, people do. They get scared of it. NASCAR, golf. Yeah. The WNBA, plays at the wrong time of year, I think. All sorts of stuff. They're totally scared of the NFL. But what if the NFL says, all right, Christmas is working. Hell, let's go New Year's Day and try to compete. Would they do it?
I mean, I would put nothing past them, just like I put nothing past the leaders in college football, that if you can take the advantage and get more money, you do. That's the default mechanism. But I really do think at some point there might be some cultural pushback. It's like New Year's Day in America, from a sporting perspective, has always been college football. I mean, more than a century. And I think eventually we might reach a point where it's a bridge too far and people are like, you know what? Don't do that. And maybe push back. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe people would be like, so what? The Cowboys are playing. I don't care. But I think at some point there has to be some level of recognition that there's something else in the atmosphere, in the world, in the universe that's worthwhile other than the NFL schedule.
Well, you know what, too? The NFL probably, we're talking about scheduling and the competition between college football and the NFL, but what about now this revenue sharing piece, right? And we've seen the underclassmen total, those leaving early for the NFL, drop considerably, right? I'm sure it will continue to drop. There's going to be maybe a little competition when it comes now that college football players will get direct payment. That's an interesting and fascinating situation. I wonder how the NFL and its owners feel that they are now not the only football league, you know, major football league, whatever, that is paying directly, going to, you know, pay their players. That's really fascinating to me. I'm sure we'll see underclassmen drop, continuing to drop. And it's just that's an interesting dynamic that
excellent, continue to evolve. Excellent point. So the proverbial second, you're going to get paid more as a college football star than a second round pick. Does the NHL, the NFL, I mean, have to increase their, now, yes, like JJ McCarthy or Caleb Williams doesn't come back. Because they, but what if you're not sure? Like, did JJ McCarthy know he was going to be the, what was he, 10th pick, 8th pick, something like that? Like, yeah. I mean, what we saw is the number of college underclassmen who left dropped in more than half in 3 years. Are staying in college football because they've got NIL deals that will make them enough money that it's worth staying, or even more money than they would have made. But at least enough. Now, if you're comfortable and the school's paying you directly, and then there's the potential for the NIL money. Fascinating, because basically there are now two professional leagues and there's only one pool of talent. I like this.
I mean, it's intriguing. It really is, that actually to have a competitive marketplace for the talent with the NFL. And yeah, you know, like, if, shoot, I'm going to go back. I mean, yeah, like Lamar Jackson, I think, was the last pick of the first round when he came out in 2017. If you're that guy at that point, now he probably would have, he was such a big star and I think was confident enough in his ability. But if you are borderline, whether you're going to be picked in the first round or not, and there's a lot of good players, famous players, beloved college players that don't get picked in the first round, and you can stay and get the Blake Corum treatment or whatever that for another year of college. Yeah, why not? And it could create some interesting competitive tension, I guess, between the two football entities.
I think it has. I think it. I think it's brewing. And you know, it's not like you can blame college leaders forever. They've resisted and avoided this situation, which is why the courts. Yeah, which is why the courts have forced them into it. But yeah, I mean, it is. I'm trying to think of all the areas that it can really impact the NFL. And I think one of them certainly is the underclassmen piece. I just think in general, yeah, you kind of heard some buzz. You remember the Super League talk. There was I think it's been pretty widely reported. There was one of the NFL's executive was involved, Brian Rolapp, I believe, in the Super League discussion. And let's just say that I think a lot of college executives thought that was quite interesting, that he was involved, that the NFL would be involved in something like that.
This is interesting because you do have, so in hockey, you do have guys who could play in the NHL who go play in Sweden, the KHL in Russia. Now, some of that is Vladimir Putin telling people, I need you to play in KHL. Putin stocks his favorite team in the KHL. The ultimate dictator move.
Shocking.
It's just true.
Shocking.
It's fantastic. Imagine, yeah, like,
it's just like Rick Stansberry stocking his bass pond.
Yeah. If you're going to be a dictator, make sure your team wins the KHL every year. Like, hey, I can wage war. You know what? You sign it. You're signing with St. Petersburg or whatever. I think it's St. Petersburg. So funny. Total rigged. Everything's rigged, including but you do have guys that are like, nah, I want to go. I don't want to. I like living in Sweden. I'm going to play here. I make enough money. Or they come to the NHL for a little while. fascinating concept that I had not considered. But the idea that, because one thing about what we saw with the college guys, it's not necessarily can I make more, but am I making enough? Because the old trope was every college athlete is broke. A lot of them are from like, oh my gosh, if they don't make a dollar in football, they'll never make a dollar again. They'll go back and fall into poverty or cry. Like that was always like the trope, which was never true. But right, oh, this is the only way out. The only way out of this steel town or this blighted neighborhood was football or basketball. And it's like, actually, no. And if you look at half the NBA, it's like Steph Curry's like dad was an NBA star. And like, you know, Bronny James was unimpressed with whatever the hell revenue sharing you're going to get because they're going to be billionaires. The idea that you're sitting there going, look, I'm only making tuition, room and board. I can't really afford a nice car. And now you go to the parking lots of these things and it's like everyone's got an incredible vehicle. And hey, I'm making Blake Corum to me is like, it could be the Blake Corum could be that like figure. Like I came back, made like $600,000-$700,000, became a legend. And now I go pro. That was better than being a fourth round pick somewhere last year. And in 30 years, when Blake Corum is still making money, signing autographs or whatever the hell they do with that in 30 years, because he's a legend to this fan base. Like there's value long term. And I think when you have agents now, not uncle, you know, your uncle making the deal or your AAU coach making the deal, the agent's sitting there weighing the option saying, I come back, I'm going to get this much. I got this. Hey, you're going to make, maybe it's even more. I don't know. Very, very interesting.
Without question. And you know what? Travion Henderson, maybe this year's Blake Corum, we'll find out. But and you look in basketball, Zach Edey stayed in college, and he's going to be a hero in West Lafayette for the rest of his life. And if after the NBA he wants a job, some Purdue alum's going to say, come work for me. No doubt about it that that's going to be – it should be something that players strongly consider because it can set you up for life if you handle your college career the right way while you're making money there.
Yeah. I mean, imagine coming out of college with that kind of money. Most people just want to come out with no debt. I mean, if you can make it out with no debt, you are so far ahead of everybody. You could come out with like bank. Jeez, even if you don't go, but fascinating. That risk reward is no longer, I got to get to the league as fast as possible or else I'm going to blow my knee out and I'm dead. You know, that, and thankfully, because that wasn't helping anybody. All right, we're going to be back with more right after this. All right, speaking of more revenue, Ross Dellinger report. Good job as always, Ross. Making use of your time at the Hilton Sandestin. Ah.
What were you trying to say?
Sandestin? What's wrong with your Destin?
Sand clandestine. That was great.
Sandestin. Destin. Well, it says Miramar Beach, though.
It is. Yeah, it's Sandestin is actually near Miramar Beach. 38.
Yeah, whatever. It's great area.
Close enough. Yeah, where all the coaches
Redneck
in the
Riviera should be the dateline for everything.
It's it's the crown jewel of the Redneck Riviera, Dan. Come on, you should know it.
I love it. I've been there. You're reporting that NCAA sources say officials are seriously considering legislative changes to permit schools to display corporate logos on their football fields. And eventually, perhaps, corporate patches on players' jerseys. So the purity of the jersey. Now, that kind of went away when they threw it. I always thought when they put a swoosh on the Penn State jersey. Like, the beauty of that Penn State jersey was just this white. It was just white and black. Like, that was it. Then they put the swoosh on. So that's a corporate logo. But you could have the, Ed's tractor trailer. Like you see these European soccer and basketball teams, like everyone could look like NASCAR. I don't know. We have things like Kroger Field. Like we have sponsors already around it. There's diving all in. What's the word here? Are we going to get that? Are we going to get the Penn State jersey presented by, Happy Valley Electronics?
Well, I think a couple of things here. Yeah, I mean, in light of all the house litigation, the revenue sharing, athletic administrators are scrambling to find more revenue, untapped revenue streams. And I think one of them is our corporate logos on various things, right? Including the football field, which I think is probably going to happen before the jersey situation. I think jersey patches are still a couple years away, if I had to guess. It's not as far down the road as the field logos. I think we could see corporate field logos as soon as this season, certainly by next season. So on Thursday, the NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Committee, Dan, will meet to discuss this and potentially kind of approve schools to put corporate logos on the field. Right now, the rule is that whatever logo or name is on a field has to be it can only be the name of the naming rights corporation who has the naming rights to the field or the stadium. Those are the only ones that can be on the field. And now they're gonna open it up to whoever. And what the proposal that I've seen is you could have three different areas on the field where you could put a corporate sponsor name or logo, which is at each 25-yard line, and then at midfield. To me, the most fascinating thing about this is who's going to be the first school to remove their traditional midfield team logo and replace it with, say, Bucky's or Walmart. It's going to happen, right? It's too much money not to happen. And if you're trying to get to, if schools are trying to make up $25 to $30 million a year in revenue sharing, plus additional scholarships, plus maybe back damages, all that stuff, it's $25 to $30 million. Let me just making calls about how much this would produce in revenue. A 25-yard line logo at a big major conference school, Ohio State, Alabama, is going to fetch at least $1 million a year, which tells me a midfield logo could at least fetch, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times that amount. So somebody's going to do it eventually. I'm just fascinating to see who in the power conference or who specifically maybe in the Big Ten or SEC might take that leap.
Dr. Pepper at Baylor. Mm-hmm. Midfield right there, baby.
Yeah, that's your correct answer.
Yeah. This to me, I just find all this a little bit comical. Like, I'm stunned the rule was still in place. I mean, are we really worried about the purity and sanctity of the playing fields in college athletics? Look around. Look what's happening. Go get the freaking money. The Boston Celtics, to me, outside of the Yankees probably have the most tradition, you know, in pro sports. Second, I would say the Boston Celtics, and you're going to see them should they ever get around to playing the NBA Finals with a Vistaprint advertisement on their jerseys. If the Boston frickin' Celtics presented by Vistaprint can happen, then yeah, I think we're okay with going ahead and putting our logos wherever the hell they want to put them. And since they're all just trying to scrape together two nickels to get by, I got no problem with it.
I mean, obviously, I prefer no. like I'm not making the money. I don't like that there's a Vistaprint on the jersey of the Boston Celtics. I don't like it, right? But whatever. This is not the hill I'm going to die on here. The funny part is going to be who you get. Because, like, okay, you think about it and you go, all right, like, Alabama's going to get Mercedes-Benz, right? Something like that. They got that big Mercedes-Benz logo is going to be on the Nike. Oregon's just going to have a huge swoosh in the middle of their stadium. I mean, that's cool. Maybe like Michigan, you got the auto and like Chevrolet, General Motors, like that big shield of General Motors. That's a nice looking thing, right? Oh, bring me Maction, baby. Bring me Maction.
That's where you get.
Well,
that's
yeah, where, yeah, yeah,
you get.
Yeah,
Akron Electronics.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Akron, yeah. Akron copiers and stuff. I mean, it's just going to be fantastic. You get the Sun Belt. Like, it could be anything. It's going to be that's the thing with the bowls, right? It's like the Rose Bowl presented by Prudential, right, or something like that. All right, that sounds kind of. Or I don't even know what are the. What is it? The FedEx Orange Bowl. I can't even remember. Tostitos. And then you get down to like the, you know, right? Like two guys in a truck visit Kalamazoo Bowl, right?
And
Snoop Dogg's got a bowl, right? Like Snoop Dogg's gonna sponsor a team, be like, "We're the smoke weed bowl. We're the smoke weed field here at UNLV." Snoop Dogg will make two appearances and have a concert. Like, this is gonna be fantastic comedy. Fantastic. I'm against it as a purist, but oh my, is this gonna be great?
There was an AD down at SEC meetings, and you know, all these SEC schools, right, have this passionate fan bases and traditional logos, right? And God, they even tweak their logo a little bit, right? And there's like a fan riot and it's huge news. And I asked this AD if he would dare think about removing his midfield logo and putting, you know, a corporate logo instead on there. And I kind of said, surely you wouldn't do that, right? And there was like 10 seconds of silence as he stared at me and then said, "We're all looking for money.
Help recruiting."
So
all you got to do is say it helps recruiting.
There you go.
Look at Oregon's uniforms.
Pay those NIL. That's hell.
We got to pay the players. Yeah, this is going to bring in tremendous comedy. So I can't wait. I cannot
wait. Could UNLV get like a silhouette of a pole dancer if they get sponsored by one of the clubs out there, entertainment clubs?
Floyd Mayweather's girl collection sponsor. I don't know. I mean, they play now at Allegiant Stadium, so maybe they get Allegiant to come in.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, I mean, the variance of sponsors is just going to be tremendous. It's like, because when you watch like a NASCAR race or you watch like F1, and these are like massive brands at NASCAR, right? It's like, this is the Home Depot car and all those types of things. But then when you watch lower level racing, and it just drops, and it's like, what is that? What is that patch? Yeah, I'm all for it just for the comedy. I prefer the old, bring me old Joe Paz uniforms. We got white, we got blue. Shut up. But they sold out too, so forget it. Forget it.
Yeah. Laramie Gravel Distributors for Wyoming.
There are certainly more avenues here, obviously jersey patches and field logos, but you know, the naming rights thing, right? You're going to probably see things get new names, I think, for naming rights deals. But one of the things Trev Alberts, Texas A&M AD, said at Media Days was about, hey, instead of like looking for ways to generate more revenue, how about we reduce expenses? And that's just something that's been very hard for administrators to do. But I think we're going to see that as well coming, especially in the, you know, the Big 12 ACC. They're in a little bit more difficult position. I mean, and this is something that came up at Destin in some of the meetings. But Big 10 in SEC, I mean, they kind of got the $25, $30 million on the way, right, with the new TV deal and the CFP money. But the Big 12 and ACC really don't. And they're really going to have to find more ways. And I would not be surprised at all if you saw a plenty of Big 12 and ACC midfield. And maybe they weave the traditional logo in with the corporate. I don't know how you could do that at midfield, but you're certainly going to see a lot of 25-yard line corporate sponsors. That's for sure. And there's even ways to increase the revenue within doing this, which is doing a different sponsor per game, right? Spreading it out to different sponsors. I think that came up with some administrators down there, or even some with like a real, you know, again, in the SEC, a real traditional midfield logo. Maybe you could see the midfield logo different, like a corporate logo, just one game per year. Maybe you have it just one game or something like that. So you could
switch it up.
See that too. There's a lot of different things they're toying with.
They're going to do it all. And again, some will try to go classy. Like, it's the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Pop-Tart Bowl where we literally have a live mascot cooked in a toaster and then comes out and the winning team eats them. So... We are going to get we are going to get all of it. So I can see some haughty ass Michigan football presented by General Motors Corporation, right? Yeah. Like very serious, yes. And then Eastern Michigan presented by National Coney Island Chili Dog.
Damn right.
Like, I mean, come on. Let's do this. All right.
What I think is hilarious is the family donor names that are on like coaching and AD positions is the most absurd thing. Or even like, you know, I mean, what's the next? How low can we get here? Like, I mean, are we going to have a family donor name? Yeah. A parking garage.
Sure.
You know, like what's the next thing?
Why not?
The Johnson family parking garage.
Why not?
Here at the University of Alabama.
Nevin Shapiro had a lounge at Miami, the Nevin Shapiro player lounge.
Of course he did.
Yes, of course. And it wasn't and that was not the kind of lounges he normally took the players to.
A bar and a stripper pole in the back.
Yeah. He had a stripper pole. He tried to put a stripper pole in his luxury box. That was one of his better moves. Anyway, that's true. The family name, because usually the family name only comes out when they release like the university had to fire the Carol E. Johnson and Fred G. Johnson Foundation head coach position. So-and-so after he had he knocked up two cheerleaders. Like, I don't want my name attached to this. Like, what? Like, I don't like, oh, no.
Yeah. Be careful who you're endowing.
All right, I got to end this. This has gone longer than I thought. So let me end this podcast. But we have one crime over in Europe, in England. A prolific thief. We've been talking a lot about the thieves, the guys that did the armed robbery in Fort Worth. We got to check up on that one. They were idiots and stole 3 12 packs of beer with a gun.
With a gun.
Well, they had four, but they dropped one of the cases and it fell and broke open. This
is the worst criminals we've
terrible
ever
criminal.
Done.
This guy's he's entertaining. Adam Spencer, 40, is arrested in Sutton in Ashfield, Nottinghamshire. See, this is I would never do it in England. Too many. I can't even do Sandestin. I was like that. Yeah. That threw me. Destin with an S A N. What? hooked on phonics over here. Anyway, he has admitted his offenses. He was a serial serial thief of food stores. On April 11th, he broke in the back door of a place and stole some meat. He came back two hours later, stole more food. On May 19th, he stole some food. So he had a bunch of breaking and entering into the same grocery store kind of thing. During one of those offenses, Spencer helped himself to 17 tubs of Pringles, like tubes, really. Those, you know, the Pringles comes in that like tennis ball thing.
Yeah.
He took 17 and walked out. Now, A, that's a lot of Pringles. B, that's like not easy to carry. The police stopped him and he made the comment to authorities about when they asked him about the 17 tubes of Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop, he said, which is their slogan.
Wow. Good line.
So, Pat, Spencer, Justice 40, would you go easier on a man who has, you say, why? I mean, he's now admitted why he stole so many Pringles. I mean, you don't want to steal the Pringles. The store owner deserves to, you know, it's a fair product. We need our merchants, our local merchants out there. But do you have sympathy for a guy that, I mean, the Pringle is very addictive. Yeah, it is very addictive. Once you pop, you cannot stop 17 cans of this stuff.
You know what? Yeah, I'm sympathetic to the perp here. If he can reel off the advertising tagline. And you know what? They're good. I like Pringles. And you know what? As long as you're not in one of those countries where they serve them and they're like beef flavored or something, you know, they do those terrible experimental flavors. Yeah, no, foreign. Oh, sometimes you run into that. But no, I ate a bunch of either they were Pringles or they were Pringle knockoffs in Tokyo during the Olympics there when we had nothing to eat and we were in the pandemic. So.
Oh, yeah.
I was tempted to steal them. I didn't, but I was tempted. And if this guy did in Spencer on Nottingham on the Thames on whatever, wherever the heck he is with multiple hyphens, It's okay. You know what? Go easy on our man. Give him a minimal sentence and let him have his Pringles.
What did they? What they didn't sentence him yet?
6 months. He got 6 months.
Six months. I don't know. That seems a little stiff, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, repeat offender. I don't know. Pat is right that the 7-Eleven in Tokyo is absolutely off the hook.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I have the Pringles flavors from Japan. Pringles, okay. I don't even know. Pringles, Japan, Hokkaido, butter, scallop flavor.
See, butter, scallops?
Shoyu scallops. Not just scallops. Butter, shoyu scallops flavor. Japan seaweed flavor.
Oh, God.
Hakata, I don't even know what that is. Nagoya chicken wing flavor. Tokyo 7-Elevens were crazy.
They were.
Right by that bus stop near my hotel and the train. And that thing's open all night. You can get beer in there, but you go in and you're like, what? The Pringle aisle is just, it's terrifying.
7-Eleven got me through that Olympics, so I owe them.
Thank you, 7-Eleven. All right, that's our show. We got on long enough. We'll be back later this week with more college football talk and excitement. Please continue to listen to us. Thank you.